time, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Welcome in. Welcome in, everybody, to the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. The show is overtime, clocking in at 6:02 here in the middle of your week. I'm your host, Tanner Carson. I've got the usual crew here tonight with me to take you up until 8 o'clock here. I got Daniel Brantman to my left and up in the producer's perch as usual. It's the one and only Cole McCormick in here. Another great day at the Fan Run Studios. We are a little over 24 hours away from one of the spectacles of the offseason, by far. It is the NFL Draft, going to kick off tomorrow evening about 8:30 Central, I think it is, give or take, I don't know. But every time it starts, it takes like about 25 minutes before the actual first pick is made. So it'll start sometime tomorrow night from the Music City. Have y'all seen the pictures of the stage set up at the end of Broadway?
I have.
Yep.
It's kind of surreal. It's kind of surreal to look at it. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. I will be there. Not tomorrow, but hoping to get down there Friday. It's going to be something I haven't seen before in my entire life, probably.
Good thing to go to.
I'm glad I'm getting to go to. I'm glad they brought it. Relatively close. You know, let's be honest, it's very close. It used to be something that was only up in New York City, and then they moved it to Chicago, and then the last two had one in Philly, and then last year was in Dallas. So by far, this is the most accessible one to go to. But before we get into talking about the NFL draft, Cole McCormick, I believe it's a certain day today.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Oh, happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. I guess this is considered my Friday.
It is.
I'm taking the rest of the week off after this. The whole 2 days. Feels good.
Yeah.
It does feel good, though. Be out in the mid-state this time tomorrow. DB, you going to come back home this week, or are you staying? Oh, you got finals, don't you?
Yeah, I got stuff.
You got to stay. Yeah.
Got a presentation Friday morning, so that kind of bites. But
what class?
499 capstone class.
Oh, dude, that's easy.
Love 499.
I barely showed up for the final. Pass the flying colors.
Well, good for you, Cole.
Thanks.
Good for you for getting rewarded for not working hard. Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, it was a team effort. It's not like it was all me. It was a team effort. My team was fantastic. It was the A team. We killed it. Yeah, it was good times last December.
DB, how confident are you? How much talking are you going to do? Are you going to be the main presenter?
Individual presentation, so I will be doing
it. Wait, they made him individual this time?
I'm not the same. I don't have the same major as you guys do. I'm communications. Y'all were both JRIM, I'm assuming. So, yeah.
So, is this communications?
You're taking communications 499.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
When you say 499, I assume it was a journalist.
Yeah,
class.
Me too.
I remembered you were.
Well, it's the same college, so they have the same numbers, I'm assuming.
How long does it have to be? How long are you going to be up there talking? And what are you going to talk about?
Well, okay, so it's really...
Have you not started yet?
No, it's done. I just got to put it on the... It's a poster board presentation. I just got to hodgepodge it or glue it on, whatever I'm going to do.
I love the poster boards.
So basically, it's just a research proposal. So I'll be up there for maybe a minute.
Okay.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
Yeah, my speaking part in the group presentation was maybe a minute. Maybe.
I was in the group with Lucas Panzica and Brandon Orrick. It was our group, and we were actually we did a presentation about this station.
Okay.
Actually, and I think my part was like 3 or 4 minutes. I talked about the marketing aspect.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. My group came up with a new sports media company here in Knoxville.
Really?
Set to launch any minute now.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was a good idea. Don't know if it'll ever go off the ground. But it was a solid idea.
Brand Orch just texted me. He said, "And we killed it." He said we killed our presentation. I do remember. Do you remember we killed it? I mean, we certainly had the most unique one. We kicked it all off by playing the video of a shirtless John Reed in Sanford Stadium right after the Hail Mary in 2016.
Yeah,
that video he posted, and we're like, "Yeah, that's one of our station mascots. That's one of our lead guys.
That's fantastic."
And yeah, that's a way to draw people's attention in as a screaming
absolutely
John Reed.
Great attention grabber.
Absolutely. Yeah, it absolutely was till two, excuse me. You're gonna do okay, DB.
I got faith pretty in confident. You. Thank you.
I have a lot of faith in you, man. You're gonna be wearing a suit? Like, are you just gonna be wearing business casual?
To be honest, I am not sure what the dress criteria
you
is
might
right
need to
now
find that out.
It's on Friday morning. I got some time. But yes, you're right. I do need to figure that out.
You do need to figure it out for sure. But anyway, NFL draft tomorrow in Nashville. Everybody's getting their final mock drafts in. Everybody's getting the final rumors, rankings, etc. tomorrow. I got CBS Sports mock draft here. I got other people's projections and all that type of stuff. But let me open up the floor to you guys first. Are you particularly excited for this one tomorrow? Particularly not excited? Because I feel like this is one of the most this draft doesn't seem as hyped.
The only reason I'm excited is just because it's in my home city of Nashville.
That is a hype part of it. Because but it's going to be something. It's going to be something the
kind
draft
of a
hasn't
boring
done
class. Boring quarterback class.
Oh, it's not a good quarterback class. At least on paper.
Yeah.
Overall, with Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Locke, got Daniel Jones, that kid from Duke. Where did he come from? What's he getting on the hype now?
I've never heard of that guy until about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I have, just because I'm a college football junkie. But, man, him getting potential, like, you know, top 15, almost top 10 type of consideration right here. I'm like, eek.
Cutcliffe's still working his magic over there.
He is the quarterback whisperer.
He is the
quarterback. He's like the OG quarterback whisperer.
He is.
You show Cut some respect right here. But I'm not particularly pumped over it. I mean, I've been thinking about more than some other people probably have that, you know, obviously aren't draft people, aren't NFL junkies, don't have a big stake in this just because I'll be going there. And it's going to be something weird to see, like, NFL Network and ABC like taking over Tootsie's and like all these other Broadway bars. I'm sure there'll be cameras set up on the rooftop of Jason Aldean's. It's going to be something very weird. And it's also weird to see. Did you also see that big picture of the stage? Like the bleachers they have set up. They've set up like bleachers like right in the middle of Broadway.
So there's going to be a lot of people there.
It's so weird. They're expecting just
in your back pocket.
Just for the draft, they're expecting at least 225,000. Extra people just coming into Nashville. Kind of glad I'm not going to be there tomorrow night.
Oh, it's going to be hectic.
Night one's going to be hell.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I'm actually kind of thankful right now that's not going to work out. I'd rather go Friday where it's like I can still get the full experience, but maybe won't be as bad. Now, I say that, and it's going to be Friday night in Nashville, so it may still
be. It's still
going
to be packed.
Really, really bad. But, hey, it's like when's the next time I'm going to be able – just to drive a couple hours and go to the NFL draft?
Probably not.
Probably not for
a while. I'm jealous of you. I wish I could go.
I wish you could too, man. Like, I mean, that's your home area.
Yep.
That's your city, and you gotta study.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, DB. DB, let's stick with your thoughts on this draft too, just because your Tennessee Titans had the 19th pick in the first round. There's been some talk that the Titans may take a quarterback.
Yeah, I've heard that talk. I don't think it's going to happen.
Do you think that's one of the dumbest things you've ever heard?
Right now, yes, because we still have Marcus, and we traded for Ryan Tannehill, let's see, not even a month ago. So it seems kind of foolish to draft a quarterback right now. I think the Titans are going to do as they always do, play it safe, get an interior lineman, like a guard or center, maybe defensive line. That's typically what they do.
They need. I think they really need a pass rusher.
Yeah.
I think they need a pass rusher really bad. Let's go ahead and dive into one of these mock drafts. This is the latest one here on CBS Sports. Just posted 2 hours ago. R.J. White, this is his mock draft here. Let's see, just out of curiosity's sake, let's go pick 19 and see who he has the Titans taking right here. Look at this. This would be really good. Has the Titans taking Christian Wilkins from Clemson.
Okay.
Big wrecking ball on the defensive line, 6'3", 315. R.J. White. He writes about Christian Wilkins that the Titans could use more talent on the defensive line to help out Jarrell Casey, and Wilkins gives them a versatile piece who knows how to get after the quarterback. He and Casey would feast on weaker interior linemen as teammates. And that was one of the Titans' like main issues. That was one of the Titans' issues that cost them games, cost them a playoff spot, just their inability to sack the quarterback, inability to consistently create havoc back there.
Other teams created havoc in our backfield, so.
And exactly is what they did. Think about this too. You just Titans, y'all could not get to Andrew Luck.
No.
In games against the Texans,
chopped us up.
Hard as hell to get after Deshaun Watson, especially because he's more the limber, mobile presence back there. Y'all need to start defense first, I think. And that's what the Raiders need to do, too. That's what my Raiders need to do.
That was going to be my next question.
I'm tired of this crap. I'm tired of these rumors that Gruden and Mayock may do something completely insane and take a damn quarterback at 4. Stupid.
Who does it have y'all taking?
RJ, my perfect pick right here. The pick I've been screaming for the Raiders to take forever. Quinnen Williams of Alabama. You need a complete human tank on your defensive line. You need to try to recreate a pass rushing presence that you all but completely lost when you trade Khalil Mack to the Bears. You absolutely need that. Unless he gets taken ahead of you, unless that happens, if he's there, you take him. You absolutely take him. He, according to a lot of rankings here, and I got Todd McShay's final top 300 prospects here in the NFL draft, Thomas Shea ranks Quinnen Williams as the second best overall player in the draft. His grade's the exact same as Nick Bosa's, who he's got number one. You take that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You take a defensive tackle that has, you know, he's got the size, he's got the frame that you want of a prototypical NFL defensive tackle, the anchor of your middle of your defensive line, but also has the athleticism of a defensive end. You need something like that. The CBS Sports write-up of Quinnen Williams. I think the Raiders are in play for not only Kyler Murray, but Haskins as well. God, no, please no.
How mad would you be?
I would cause a scene. I would cause a slight scene. But with both off the board in the first three picks, they, quote, settle for maybe the best overall player in the draft, one who fills a huge need. How about that? Settling for a no-duh type of pick right here. There's no reason you need to replace Derek Carr yet. Same thing with the Titans and Mariota.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to do that yet.
You got to give Derek Carr and Antonio Brown a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't cancel out what could be a pretty damn good dynamic quarterback to wide receiver relationship before he even gets a chance to start.
Absolutely.
That was one of the first things Antonio Brown did when he announced that he was going to Oakland, was post an old video of him and Derek Carr talking at the Pro Bowl. He has really been excited about playing with Derek Carr on that offense. Give it a shot.
Absolutely.
Give it a shot, please. But this mock draft has the Cardinals at 1, keeping that first overall pick, not accepting any type of trade proposals, and taking Kyler Murray, what has been your pretty much de facto number one pick for a few months now. Cliff Kingsbury's been on record saying that he would, if he was ever in a position as an NFL head coach, to take a quarterback, he would take Kyler Murray. So they're already, after 1 year, going to send Josh Rosen bye-bye, basically.
And that was going to be my thought. They just drafted Josh Rosen. They're going to give up on him after 1 year.
Is this going to be one of the most reckless things a franchise has done as far as what they do with drafting quarterbacks? I think it has to be.
If I'm the Cardinals, I'm taking Nick Bosa.
This smart draft doesn't have them doing that. They have Nick Bosa being number two to the 49ers.
I just don't think Kyler Murray would be a smart draft choice for the Cardinals. I just don't see it at all.
How about this here? They got the Washington Redskins trading Now, this is the mock trade here. They got them trading with the Jets to get the third overall pick to take Dwayne Haskins. Oh!
Oh, Alex Smith.
This coming
he's
on
out,
the news
he's
today.
Out all next year too.
This coming on the news today that Redskins owner Dan Snyder is going to take over Washington's draft, especially when it comes to their first round selections in any possible trades.
Jeez,
man, I think Dwayne Haskins could be a big bust, man.
I do too.
I just, absolutely. I just really see it. It may be that that's wrong on my part, but. I don't know, man. He's been receiving all this hype up here. I don't think there's any quarterback I'm immediately sold on. Like, do you? Do either of you? I don't see any quarterback I'm completely sold on. At least, you know, somebody who could be right away picked in the first two rounds as a franchise quarterback. I don't see it out of Kyler Murray because of his size. It, you know what? Maybe he has that chip on his shoulder. He wants to prove people wrong because of his size. He wants to do what you know Baker Mayfield did in year one. He wants to do what Russell Wilson, Drew Brees have done when it comes to shorter quarterbacks proving their critics wrong. I don't see it out of Dwayne Haskins. I don't see it out of Drew Locke. I don't see it out of Daniel Jones. Yeah, pretty mediocre quarterback class on paper.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's interesting to me. You know, back in the day growing up, it seemed like the quarterback class, for the most part, was always pretty good going into the NFL draft, usually. But at the last few years, I don't know what it is about college football now. I guess the way the game is changing. But I feel the last few draft classes, 3 to 4 years, not as great as we're used to seeing. And I don't know why that is. But I don't know. But I'm with you. If I had to pick one guy who I thought could be a franchise quarterback out of this year's class, I really don't know who I'd go with. I really, really don't. These all seem like long-term backup quarterbacks to me. They really do. They don't scream NFL starter for 15-plus years. They just don't.
I mean, Kyler Murray is one hell of an athlete. We saw that in several instances this past season. But how does that translate to being the quarterback for your NFL team?
NFL's a different game than college, as we all know.
Because NFL, it's determined by, okay, you have to have a quarterback, and on the flip side, you have to have people who get after a quarterback, too. I think who knows what Josh Rosen's going to end up being, but you can't spend a top 10 pick on him last year and go ahead and decide that, oh, yeah, this isn't worth it here. They should just take Nick Bosa. I think that would have been the smartest thing.
Yeah.
I think there's too much hype around Kyler Murray.
But Arizona's also the franchise that hired Cliff Kingsbury, who got fired from Texas Tech.
Yeah.
He didn't leave Texas Tech to take an NFL job. He was unemployed because he got fired.
Yeah.
He was going to be a college football offensive coordinator or an NFL OC.
Yeah. I mean, I get the lure of...
I still can't believe they hired him.
Failed upward, man.
Of Kyler Murray. I get it. You know, he was a top whatever pick, top 10 pick in the MLB draft. Probably the number one pick in this year's NFL draft. He's a great athlete. You know, he's fast as all get out. He can sling the ball with the best of them. But at the end of the day, I mean, I know that there's some less than 6 foot quarterbacks in the league that have done very, very well. But Kyler might be the smallest one of them all. And in the NFL, these defensive linemen, these linebackers, they are just as fast as he is and a lot bigger. This isn't playing
Iowa.
Kyler
Murray's actually 5'9".
I don't think
like,
so. Either.
Actually, I don't think so he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's not playing Iowa State anymore in the Big 12.
No, he's not.
He's not going up against Baylor. I mean, he is playing in the NFL with some of the greatest athletes in the world.
More NFL draft talk on the other side here. 865-546-8200. Going to go ahead and open up the Fan Run phone lines here. Once again, 865-546-8200. More overtime on the other side. Be with you up until 8 o'clock. You are listening to Fox Sports Knoxville. Staying on the NFL draft talk here, let's just stay on this one mock draft. Again, it's a mock draft. I mean, a lot of them are wrong.
Yeah.
Besides the obvious.
Kind of like my bracket. March Madness.
Yeah, kind of. There's a lot of whole guesswork that goes into it. And on draft night, you always think you know the direction a team is going to go to. If a team needs a pass rusher, if a team needs help in the secondary, you think, okay. Well, they'll make their first pick with the logical choice. And nope, they just flip it upside down in their head. flip it completely upside down. Oakland did that to me last year. Took a very underdeveloped offensive tackle from UCLA, where you should have spent on defense.
Yeah.
So,
no joke.
It's anybody's guess how it's actually going to go tomorrow. But talked about the first four in this mock draft here. This is according to a CBS Sports writer here. But we're just going to stick on with this one just for fun, and because it's kind of easy to like read and go through here. With the fifth pick, the Bucks take Devin White from LSU. Josh Allen, not the Wyoming Josh Allen, draftjoshallen.com. Not that guy, but Josh Allen of Kentucky, 6th to the Giants.
Really?
Got the Jaguars at 7th overall taking Ed Oliver. I think Ed Oliver is he could end up being the best overall player in this draft. Possibly, potentially. Why did he go to Houston?
No idea.
He was a 5-star prospect.
Yeah. I don't know. All the cash down. It's Texas, man.
I mean, Houston doesn't play around. They did get Dana Holgorsen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's anybody's guess. Get some more SEC flavor here. Juwan Taylor, offensive lineman from Florida, going to the Panthers. 9th overall, Jonah Williams, offensive lineman from Alabama, going to the Bills. Here's where you get your quarterbacks off of here. I think, yeah, Denver's definitely going to take a quarterback. This mock draft at 10th
John
overall.
Elway, absolutely.
Taking Drew Locke from
Mizzou. I don't know if he's a step up from Case Keenum, but I don't know. Drew Locke comes with a lot of question marks, in my opinion.
CBS Dude wrote that Drew Locke seems like a great match for what John Elway wants. If Jonah Williams, bless you, Cole. That was a loud one.
I am so sorry.
It's okay. Zyrtec has failed, Mr. Cole McCormick.
Gotta go Allegra, bro.
Ah, I can't.
Gotta go Allegra.
Cut the check, Allegra.
Cut the check!
Anyway, if Jonah Williams or Devin White were available, this would be a tougher pick. But this mock draft has both of them off of here, so it's got Elway going to go ahead and taking a quarterback. Right behind Drew Locke at number 11, the Cincinnati Bengals will also take a quarterback.
Cincinnati running Andy Dalton out of town.
Yeah, basically got fed up with Andy Dalton here. Looks like they're going to try to it says right here they're going to take Daniel Jones of Duke. So you got the Duke boy at 11th overall here. I didn't remember Daniel Jones, pretty tall dude, 6'5", 221. So you certainly don't have the height issues.
Absolutely.
That
not.
Someone like Kyler Murray would present. Baker Mayfield as well here. So expect Jones to sit and learn for as long as possible with the hope Andy Dalton can build trade value, and then you just plug Daniel Jones right there. I don't think they're going to take the Duke quarterback and expect him to go ahead and lead the Bengals in the AFC North, a division with all those quarterback killers and all those tough defenses. Yeah, no thanks. you got one in your own state, too, all of a sudden with the
absolutely.
Browns. Got the Packers taking Devin Bush from Michigan. I'm just going to keep strolling until I find somebody notable here. Oh, Montez Sweat, Mississippi State, going at 15th overall to the Jets. Jets get the 15th pick because of the mock trade the Redskins make. Because the Jets now had the 3rd overall pick.
Built up that offense in the offseason, signing Le'Veon Bell. Trying to get a little help on the defensive side.
Yep. Let's see. We got two Mississippi State pass rushers going in the first round here. 21st overall, Brandon Oryx, Indianapolis Colts, taking Jeffrey Simmons.
Old Joffrey.
Scares me. The Colts are going to be scary this year. The AFC South is going to be scary.
Talking about scary right here, somebody who can do damage at the wide receiver position. Pick 22, Baltimore Ravens taking Marquise Hollywood Brown from Oklahoma, the speedster.
Ooh.
It also said, this is also the first wide receiver taken. No teams are taking a wide receiver this mock draft of the Ravens at 22nd. Everything else is quarterbacks, offensive linemen, pass rushers, whether it be on the defensive line or a linebacker. It's kind of like quarterbacks and pass rushers are the only two things that really, really matter in the NFL, and also protecting your quarterback, obviously.
I mean, that's, I'd say that's some of the top three things you need.
Three Clemson defensive linemen are gone in the first round in this mock draft, by the way. Dexter Lawrence. Gone to the Dolphins at pick 23. I skipped over Clelin Ferrell going to the Steelers.
Color me shocked. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, real quick, did y'all see number one player in the country committed to them last week? Defensive lineman, number one player overall.
At least they're not going to Alabama or Georgia.
I believe that's like three top 10, top 15 defensive linemen going to Clemson.
And I mean, we've already seen they're so stocked up with five stars, it's turned out it might work in Tennessee's favor.
Yeah, because Reggie Grimes, sorry, look elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it's April. Telling five stars to move on.
Just go west to Knoxville. Like, okay, we'll take you.
Nice. That's a nice problem to have.
Maybe Dabo's going to do that as a gesture of peace from taking some of your recruits away from us. And maybe it's like, okay, I don't want them to go to Alabama because we have to play Alabama in the playoff every year. Go to Tennessee where we probably won't see it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
That's the reality of the situation. Okay, here. Get my Raiders picks here because the Raiders, of course, have three first-round picks. As it stands, please don't trade him. Please don't trade him. Please don't trade him. My hands and knees begging. You need to stock up on the young talent here. I like this one here, especially on the breaking news today. Beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, retiring again after 12 seasons overall.
Good this time? Question mark.
I think it's over. I was surprised he's not going to stay the last season in Oakland. I know his original thing was just like a two-year commitment, but turns out that, yes, the Raiders are going to stay in Oakland for one more season. That's the Raiders were the only team Marshawn Lynch came out of retirement for. He wanted to end his career in his hometown of Oakland. But now it's like, yeah, kind of beat up. Been playing as a running back for 12 years as a big, bruising type of running back. Takes a toll on your body. I think he's decided that's done. Which is perfect timing here, because in the mock draft at pick 24, the Raiders take Josh Jacobs from Alabama. The 5'10", 220-pound, one of those parts of that big multi-head monster.
He's a bowling ball, man. He really is.
5'10", 220?
220. Good. 5'10", 220. Gracious. Ooh, let's see here. Oh, this would be fantastic here. Yeah, spend a pick on the secondary here. Greedy Williams
at
pick 27. Surprised Greedy has fallen. I thought Greedy was going to be a top 10.
I was kind of surprised when you said his name was down there. That is crazy.
I think if he wasn't suspended when he was, he probably would have been a
top 10. It's also true. You always have to wonder about off the field type of stuff here. But still, you've seen people all the time with question marks when it comes to off the field, still get drafted very high.
Yeah.
The description of Greedy Williams here, a corner finally comes off the board with the Raiders closing up their first-round account with a man named Greedy. He's not the greatest tackler, but Williams has the ability to make game-changing plays anytime the ball is thrown in his direction. And that does it for like the really, really notable picks here. Of course, no Tennessee Volunteers projected.
No.
No balls, if any, are projected until like the final day. Do we think a ball is going to get drafted before we wrap up our draft talk?
I could see them being a free agent signing.
I could too.
Well, that's going to happen to plenty. But I'm saying,
drafted.
Does he actually get taken with the draft? They're going to sign a contract and get guaranteed money type of deal.
If it is, it's late.
Yeah,
it is
like
late.
Maybe the last day.
And it's either Phillips or Tuttle, in my opinion. It's one of those guys.
Kyle Phillips had to be the safest bet.
Yeah.
Kyle Phillips doesn't have all the injury questions that Chai Tuttle has.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Thank you, Butch.
Another draft.
Appreciate it.
Two five-star linemen out of high school. Can't get drafted. That is the Butch Jones effect if there ever was one.
I just want one to go. Because it's always bad to be a fan of one of those teams that didn't get a player drafted.
Yeah.
Most especially if you're a Power 5 team.
Yeah.
Because there's always the list of, these schools didn't have any players taken. If Tennessee's on there, it's going to be,
yeah.
Going to have to be part of memes again. Going to have to be the butt of people's jokes.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah, real quick, I wanted to make sure I was correct. I was. Clemson, three top 10 national players or defensive linemen. One committed number one overall guy, two favored to Clemson as of right now.
That's stupid.
Also, sixth overall player in the country, number one pro style quarterback, favored to go to Clemson.
If you're a defensive line prospect, though, why don't you go to Clemson?
Everybody that goes.
We just read the mock draft. Three are going in the first round.
Everybody that goes there gets drafted highly. Yeah.
The proof is in the pudding right there. Old, old cheesy ass Dabo, man.
Old
he's,
Dabo.
He's found a way to make it work somehow.
At Clemson, of all places.
At Clemson.
I don't get it.
Just Auburn with a lake, Clemson, South Carolina.
Pretty much.
I don't know. Just keep him out of our conference, please. So I guess this is good news
that
in
is,
a way.
That is the silver lining, I guess.
Keep
yeah.
him out. Make sure we don't have to play them every year. Sure.
Tennessee probably won't ever see Clemson.
Yeah, not in the near future.
No, so yeah, Clemson, take all of them, please.
Sure.
If we can't get them, please take them.
Go right ahead. Hit another break here, 865-546-8200 to get on the Fan Run phone lines as we keep rolling along on this Wednesday here. Hit another short break and back with more overtime on the other side. Back on overtime here. We got some news coming out late yesterday between the Hedges and Athens, Georgia. Could this be the beginning of something maybe that could be a little deeper and maybe a potential downfall of Georgia?
Fingers crossed.
Or could it be just absolutely yeah. nothing? I'll read the story from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And you be the judge. This is the first coming from Dog Nation here. One member of Georgia's football recruiting office has been fired and another suspended for a month without pay, Dog Nation reported on Tuesday night, citing unnamed sources. I'm going to assume it's either Dacia or Dacia King. I might go with Dacia here, actually. Dacia King, who is listed as the Bulldogs recruiting program coordinator on the team's website, was dismissed. Lukman Abdullahi, who is director of on-campus recruiting, has been placed on a 30-day suspension without pay. The reason for the actions and whether they are related are not known at this time. Quote, I'm not talking about any personal stuff, Georgia Athletic Director Greg McCarthy said. Quote, regardless of what the position is, I just don't comment on personnel decisions or matters. Sorry. I'm sorry, that's Greg McGarrity. I almost said Greg McCarthy for some reason. It's Greg McGarrity. McGarrity also declined to comment when asked whether violations of NCAA or SEC rules were involved. Dacia King was hired for her current position back in May 2018. A recruiting program coordinator typically serves as a, what's the word, liaison?
Liaison.
Excuse me. Wow, not good at words.
It's close.
Serves as a liaison between prospective athletes and the Georgia coaching staff and helps plan visits and set itineraries. She holds double degrees from Georgia in marketing and sport management. And the other person, Abdullah, who was once suspended for 30 days, has been with Georgia since 2013 but was named director of on-campus recruiting in January 2016, shortly after Kirby Smart became head coach. A University of Illinois graduate, Abdullahi. He received a master's degree in kinesiology from Georgia in 2014. Is there something here? Or is this something that's going to get buried underneath the rug here?
Probably going to get buried.
I hope
a little investigation ensues.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to get buried.
More than likely.
I don't think those guys hold big enough positions, really, on the staff to start something huge.
What could they have been doing? Was it just some type of misconduct when it comes to, maybe they were flying too close to the sun in regards of potential violations that the NCAA could have gotten a hold of?
Maybe.
Potentially.
Does it say, like, when apparently all this stuff went down in that article? It's interesting to me that this happened after G-Day.
Yeah.
They had G-Day this past weekend. A lot of big-time recruits.
Spring game.
Yeah. A lot of big-time G-Day. Recruits, and then they let two personnel recruiting guys go. So maybe something happened during that weekend. I don't know, but I think it's very interesting.
I just wonder. I'd love for it all to come crumbling down.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Before it
I would
even
love
starts.
To see it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know. Would Georgia be a protected type of school from the NCAA trying to put the hammer down?
I think in a way.
Does Georgia football have that status?
I think Kirby has done enough so far in a way that they could get that, just because right now they're the only SEC team to challenge Alabama. And I don't know if the SEC wants to go back Alabama and then the 13 other schools. I think they want a little competition, and Georgia has shown they can play with them.
I think all this is just going to get swept underneath the rug.
I think so, too.
100,000%.
Probably not hear any other type of update. And if we do, it's going to be like minor stuff. Stuff that's not going to really raise any type of eyebrows.
Yeah.
Cole, we talked a lot about Clemson and Clemson's like success on the recruiting trail, and maybe in some form or fashion being a benefit to Tennessee football. You have an interesting update about a Clemson player who's transferring.
I do. Yeah. SEC Mike on Twitter. Love his work. He says, just a few minutes ago, former five-star recruit Tavian Feaster leaving Clemson after rushing for 1,330 yards and 15 touchdowns in his career. He signed with the Tigers over Tennessee and is set to be a graduate transfer. And then Dabo had a statement today regarding Feaster. He says, Tavian has informed us that he has entered the transfer portal with the intention to finish his degree at Clemson by August and continue his college career somewhere else. We appreciate Tavian for everything he brought to Clemson and our program, and we wish him nothing but the best moving forward. So it sounds like he may not – I mean, he could play this next year as a grad transfer, but Feaster, looking at his profile, he did pick Clemson over Tennessee. It seemed to be a neck-and-neck race there towards the end. 247 Sports had him as a five-star running back, number one all-purpose back in the class, number one player in the state of South Carolina, 14th player nationally. So maybe Tennessee could get another big-time grad transfer, especially back there in the backfield. That could be huge.
Do you have his stats readily available right in front of you?
At Clemson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had, well, according to this tweet, 1,330 rushing yards and 15 touchdowns at Clemson total. So, not a huge contributor. But,
I mean, I definitely know about Tavian Feaster and what he's done at Clemson. I mean, he's one that certainly gets, like, a good amount of, you know, ball handling.
Yeah.
And he gets enough, like, snaps out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but, I mean, you look at where he went and how many, you know, running backs, how many weapons they've had. It's not a surprise he didn't have that great of a career. 4.440 coming out of high school. So, he is quick.
That
would be nice. That could be one to
we
watch.
We need to find out. So I'm sure somebody's going to find out what the potential probability of him coming over here would be.
Yeah. I mean, if he liked Tennessee coming out of high school, you know, come west just a little bit.
Sure.
Right now he's 5'11", 222 pounds
at
Clemson.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So he's a pretty big back. Tennessee could use it for sure.
Okay. Good little update. Good job catching
just
that,
came
Cole.
Across the – the timeline. Thank you, SEC Mike.
Thank you, SEC Mike, for breaking that too. But Cole, for catching down the timeline.
Good job, Cole.
Delivering
thank
that
you.
To us as well. Cole McCormick always keeping his eyes out on the timeline for us. He's like our Night's Watch. Bratman.
Yes.
Bratman gets the reference.
He is our Night's Watch.
Sure.
Your watch has not ended yet. Your watch won't end until you die, Cole McCormick.
They really won't. They really won't.
Perfect. He's a perfect man of the Night's Watch, that's for sure. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Catch another break here. Be back to wrap up the first hour of overtime here. Stay with us on Fan Run Radio. Quick update in the world of the playoffs here. Let's run through your preview of action tonight. Let's start on the hardwood here. We've got NBA playoff action continuing in the first round here. Two games that are most likely both going to be over in five games. 8 o'clock, the Rockets at home against the Jazz. And then your nightcap at 10:30, the Warriors at home against the Clippers. I think both of these end tonight. I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Absolutely.
I think so.
Rockets are hard to stop, so are the Warriors. Hard. Warriors, everyone knows about the Warriors. They're just the Warriors.
Thank you, Clippers, for giving us some good meme material. Yeah. Thank you for giving us really good talking points about the first round of the NBA playoffs when they overcame a 31. I still can't believe they overcame a 31-point second-half deficit. What the hell was Golden State doing in that game?
Nothing.
There's no way this series shouldn't be a sweep.
Yeah.
But they got a chance to do the gentleman sweep. In five games.
Yeah.
We'll get you in five games. Over on the ice here, your lone Stanley Cup first round game. We had two Game 7s yesterday, and we're going to have another Game 7 tonight. It's your defending cup champions, Washington Capitals, against the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina Hurricanes in the playoffs for the first time in 10 years.
Catching some fire.
Trying to really make some noise, knock out your defending champs in Washington.
I think the Caps close this one out, though.
I think they do, too. I will have my eyes tuned to that one. That one dropping at 7:30. Let's go back to last night in the NBA playoffs, though. Damian Lillard is an ice cold, stone cold.
Ice in his veins.
Killer. Killer. I will admit, I didn't watch all of the Thunder and Trailblazers game. I had periodical updates. I would check the ESPN app. I saw that Dame was going off, but I also saw that OKC, man, they had that run. What was it? Got to like a 36 run at some point to take what should have been a pretty commanding lead. They should have really closed that one out. I know it was in Portland, but, you know, they had a chance to, you know, force that one to go back to Oklahoma City. They were down 3-1, but, hey, they could have forced something crazy to happen. You never know where the momentum rolls after that. Then Damian Lillard still went off, though. Still went off. Game was absolutely fantastic. I finally tuned in right after Paul George hit a shot to put OKC back up, too. So they were up 115 to 113. So that's when I start tuning in live. And pretty good time to tune in live. So that was with under a minute left. Damian Lillard drives to the paint, gets a very tough layup to go in off the glass. Ties up at 115. OKC, they cannot capitalize on the other end. So with Damian Lillard, with his made layup, dip with 30 seconds left, gets a nice little two-point play. He gets a two-for-one, excuse me. So Portland has the ball back. Staying on it. They got a timeout. They don't use it. What does Damian Lillard do? Does he try to drive to the hoop again? Does he try to – was there a play designed for him? No, just ISO. Just ISO the whole time. Paul George is on him. Steps back, creates a little space. From 37 feet out.
About the half court line. That was deep.
If he was in the middle of the court, he'd still be on the Trailblazers logo.
Yeah.
I see him take that, and I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Boom. Bucket.
In. Money.
Damian Lillard finishes with 50 points. Hits 10 threes. Including the dagger of all daggers. And probably the best part was not just the shot, the immediate aftermath. Lillard immediately waving bye-bye to OKC. And then I think we've all seen the picture of him being mobbed. And he just looks like right at the camera that's taking this picture. And he has the most stoic expression on his face. Like he didn't just, he probably doesn't have to pay for anything in Portland, but this assured it. If it wasn't already assured. Coincidentally, 5 years ago, he did almost the exact same thing to eliminate the Rockets from the playoffs in round one.
I remember that. That was a hell of a shot.
A different type of play. It was an inbounds, and he was kind of like asking for it, and it was like immediately like a catch and shoot because there was less than a second left. But yeah, same type of thing. Eliminating the Rockets, I do believe that was also in a game five.
I don't remember, but I remember the shot off the inbounds, and you just splashed it.
So, like, already, like, this is the second time he has done this. Man, he's so good.
That wave by.
He's so good.
That wave by was, I think it was at, it was definitely at towards OKC, like the bench, but I think it was directed at Russell Westbrook. They were butting heads the entire series.
It was around one game six against game the Rockets, six. May the 2nd, 2014. Man. He's got a thing for making those clutch shots. And I, of course, he's a very recognizable, marketable player. All your NBA junkies, even NBA casual fans, know a lot about Damian Lillard. But with just the fact that he's on the West Coast, smaller market type of team, he could be a bigger superstar than he already is.
I agree.
He's absolutely fantastic to watch. That was really nice to watch, too. Little nightcap watching that one in the morning Eastern time. I'm glad I stayed up to tune into that one. Your other playoff results here just from last night, for anyone who might have missed it here. The Raptors close out their series against the Magic. They win 115-96, win that in five. The Sixers also win their series against the Nets in five games, 122-100. It will be Philly versus Toronto in the Eastern semifinals. And then the Denver Nuggets take a 3-2 lead over the Spurs. They win by 18 at home last night.
The Nuggets, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Nuggets were a 2 seed.
Yeah.
Nuggets are a 2 seed, but it's just the Spurs are such a hard organization. They're such a hard team to kill. No matter if they've lost like the pieces of, you know, their dynasty days.
Still have DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, they still got plenty of quality players, and oh yeah, they still have one of the greatest coaches ever in Pop. So that's always going to be always going to be a hard team to kill too. But yeah, finally, I'm glad to tune in some NBA playoff action last night. It's only going to get better, I think. I'm just interested to see who comes out the East, because you're finally going to have a non-LeBron team.
I think it's the Bucks.
You think the one seed gets it? You think it's all chalk?
Giannis is a freak of nature.
Yeah, and they took care of Detroit the other night, too.
Yep.
Did you see how many straight playoff games the Pistons have lost?
I have not.
14.
Wow.
14!
That's rough. That is rough.
Detroit sports suck, in case you didn't know. It's been that type of stretch for the Pistons. The Lions haven't won a playoff game since 1991. Red Wings have missed the playoffs for the last 3 years. They haven't had a cup in 11 years. I think the Tigers... I don't think they've won a series since like 2013 or something like that.
It's been a while for them.
Rough stuff, man. Hour number two of overtime on the way after this. Stick with us. Put it in your pants with your cupcakes.